Welcome to the Reminger Report podcast on emerging technologies. Reminger Co. LPA is a full-service law firm with over 150 lawyers spread across 14 offices and serving states throughout the Midwest. My name is Zach Pyers, and I'm a partner in Reminger's Columbus, Ohio office.
And I'm Kenton Steele, an associate in Reminger's Columbus office.
This podcast on emerging technologies will examine how changes in technology and business models affect our daily lives and how the law is adapting to respond to these changes. In last week's episode, Kenton explored the concept of a third classification for workers, something in between that of an independent contractor and the actual full-fledged employee. This week, we're going to explore a similar topic, but around legislation that was addressed recently in California, colloquially known as Proposition 22. So, Kenton, as we kind of dive into this topic, if you could just explain to us, what is Prop 22?
So at its most basic, Prop 22 was a ballot initiative in California that received a lot of media coverage in that it was sort of at the forefront of this question of creating a third classification of worker for gig economy type workers. The actual provisions of Prop 22 really relate to sort of a middle ground as it relates to providing employment type benefits to rideshare drivers or other gig economy workers. Specifically, the provisions of Prop 22 would require that employers pay 120% of what the local minimum wage was for each hour that a worker spends actually working. So for ride-sharing drivers, that would be receiving 120% of the local minimum wage for each hour spent with a passenger in the car or en route to pick up a passenger. So it would not take into account times where the driver has the app open and are waiting to pair with a driver. Also, drivers would receive 30 cents per mile expenses for each mile driven with a passenger in the vehicle or en route to a passenger. The other provisions related to providing a health insurance stipend for drivers who average more than 15 hours of drive time per week over a set period of time. There would also be requirements that companies pay certain medical costs or lost income for drivers hurt while driving, basically a modified version of workers' compensation benefits. And there would also be certain other typical employment law restrictions put in place that relate to workplace discrimination, sexual harassment policies, and certain requirements for criminal background checks and mandatory safety training for ride-sharing drivers. And those are sort of the actual impacts and what the substance of Proposition 22 contained.
Now, when you talk about these changes that were being explored via a ballot initiative, what led to the ballot initiative and why was it created and what was the driving force behind it?
So what led to the need for or the supposed need for Proposition 22 were some changes to the law in California. And it really started with a decision by California's Supreme Court in the Dynamex case. For those who are not familiar, Dynamex Operations is a company that was sort of a proto gig economy type company. Dynamex is a delivery company. It's a nationwide courier that offers on-demand same-day pickup and delivery services to the public. And it also has a large number of business customers. So if you need something delivered on a short-term turnaround or like a one-off delivery, Dynamex is a company that will do that. They'll hire a driver to make that single delivery. Initially, Dynamex classified its drivers as employees, but in 2004, Dynamex reclassified its workers to independent contractors. So in 2017, a case made its way to the Supreme Court of California, and in that decision related to Dynamex's classifications of its workers, the California Supreme Court created or enforced a standard that would hold that Dynamex had misclassified its workers as independent contractors and that they were actually employees. The standard that the court used is now sort of known as the ABC test, which are the three factors that a company must meet to show that its workers actually are independent contractors. And that's sort of an interesting point, is that under this decision, this Dynamex decision, the California Supreme Court decided that it would be the burden of the company to establish that its workers were independent contractors. And the three things that needed the company needed to show to satisfy that burden were, one, that the worker was free from control, that the worker was not being directed by the company in the performance of their work. Two, that the worker was performing a job that was outside of the hiring entity's normal business. And three, that the work that the worker customarily or generally engaged in independent contractor type work. So really, this was a codification of the standard that we talked about, where if a restaurant hires a plumber to come in and fix the plumbing, installing plumbing is not part of a restaurant's normal course of business. So that's an independent contractor. But if a restaurant is hiring someone to come in and cook food or take orders, that is part of that company's everyday business. That is not something that's typically done by an independent contractor. So that would be an employee, irrespective of what the employer calls them. So that Dynamex decision comes out around 2017-2018. And quickly thereafter, in 2018, the California legislature moved to actually take that standard from the Dynamex decision and codify it into law. That was known as Assembly Bill Number 5, which was passed, and really took that ABC test, set it out in a statute, and made it the law of California. Now, that standard obviously has a huge impact on the way that ride-sharing drivers or other gig economy workers are classified. The AB5 law was set to go into effect on January 1st, 2020. And in response, we saw large gig economy companies basically say that they were going to shut down operations in the state of California because that standard was a complete threat to their viability as a business. So with that framework in place, the ride-sharing and gig economy companies really saw it as necessary to change the legal framework that they were operating in within the state of California. And the way they did that was through the ballot initiative known as Proposition 22. Now, we've already talked about sort of what the impacts of Prop 22 were, what the provisions of the law were. But it was obviously something that received a lot of media attention, and a lot of money went into the campaign for the passage of Prop 22. Specifically, companies like Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Instacart, and Postmates were at the forefront of arguing for and campaigning for the passage of Prop 22. And those companies together spent over $200 million on that campaign, making Prop 22 the most expensive ballot initiative in California history and likely in the history of the United States. There was a significant amount of money that was spent opposing Prop 22, but I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of about an eighth of what was spent by the pro Prop 22 side of things. Ultimately, Proposition 22 was passed in the 2020 election cycle in November 2020, and it passed with about 58% of the vote. So by a fairly wide margin, it was enacted into law in California.
You know, Kenton, as you were talking about the ABC test, I was waiting for you to lay out an acronym, an A, a B, a C, and frankly, it never came. And so I was just looking briefly, thinking, okay, well, what does this ABC stand for? There's got to be some acronym somewhere that nicely fits into the ABC. And I'll tell you, I can't find it. So I appreciate you kind of laying that foundation out for us as it relates to, you know, what led up to or what was behind the passing of Prop 22. Tell us, what's the current status of it? Where are we as we sit right now in the status quo today? What's going on?
So as you might expect, there were immediate legal challenges to Prop 22, attacking the constitutionality of Proposition 22. In August of this year, so fairly recently, a trial court in California determined that Proposition 22 is unconstitutional. And the reason for that decision, there was actually a couple of different reasons. One was that the law, you know, improperly restricted the legislature's ability to make changes to the law itself. So the Prop 22 included in its provision a requirement that it could only be amended or modified based on a 7/8 majority of California's legislature. So a super, super majority would be necessary to change the law, which, you know, borders on the impossible for even a state that is heavily tilted to one side of the political spectrum. A 7/8 majority is not realistic. And so for that was part of the reason that it was found to be unconstitutional. Additionally, it was determined that the law violated a portion of California's constitution relating to ballot initiatives being limited to a single subject matter. So at present, there is a decision that the law is unconstitutional. That being said, the decision from the trial court did not suspend the enforcement of Proposition 22. So the law will remain in place as it works its way through the appellate system. And I think ultimately what we're likely to see is California's Supreme Court will be left to decide with whether or not Proposition 22 will stay in place. So somewhat of an open question, but for the time being, Proposition 22 remains effective in California.
Now, California can't be the only state that's looking at this issue. Are there other states who are contemplating similar legislation? You know, what are they looking at or what are they thinking about? And kind of how do you see the future as it relates to, you know, how Prop 22 may impact us kind of across the nation?
Yeah, so there are certainly, given the fact that Prop 22 passed with such a wide margin, obviously for companies that are engaged in the gig economy, we can expect that this is an option they will explore further in other states where they need to. I think on the one side, the companies will obviously be waiting to see if Prop 22 remains in place and what the impact is on the bottom line of those companies as it continues to be in place for a year. It may be the case that it is not the financial benefit that the companies had hoped it would be, in which case we may see a different approach. The other thing is for a lot of jurisdictions, they don't have the same employment law framework or context that exists in California. So if you look at a more conservative type state, there is not the same need to change the existing law as it relates to what benefits are required for gig economy type workers. So in those jurisdictions, there's less of a need to try and pass something like Prop 22. For other jurisdictions, I think we can very much expect to see a similar approach utilized by gig economy companies, where they band together, try to get the ballot initiative passed to sort of solidify what their, you know, sort of preferred classification of workers would be. Going forward, we'll see more of that come up in certain states, but there will be sort of a wait and see approach that these companies use as we, one, wait to see what happens with Prop 22 itself, whether or not it remains in effect, two, what the financial impact will be of Prop 22 remaining in effect, and three, what the current status of classification is in various jurisdictions throughout the U.S.
Thank you for joining us on this most recent episode of the Reminger Report podcast on emerging technologies. This is going to be the final episode in our series as we explore the gig economy, the worker, third-party classification, and the legislative impacts of those issues. Join us next time as we start to explore our series on other interesting topics in the area of emerging technologies.